We're going to read God's Word today from the 13th chapter of Romans. And we look to make more progress. We're getting near the end of this chapter and not far from the end of the book. You notice there's just three more chapters. And so we're moving along with something of a snail's progress, but progress nevertheless. So we're beginning our reading this morning in chapter 13 with the verse 6. Let us consider God's word. Romans 13, 6. For this cause pay you tribute also. What is the cause for us paying tribute? It is still in verse 6. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. That's why we pay tribute. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 10, and we trust that the Lord will bless this brief reading to our hearts today and to our meditation. Let us pray together. O God, our Father in heaven, we bow to Thee in the Savior's name and confess our absolute unworthiness, even to handle Thy holy word, Thy holy law. It is such a convicting word. Oh, that we had this holy motivation that Thou hast commanded, that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Oh God, that our motivation would always be in love to Thee and love to our neighbor. We thank Thee for forgiving our sin, for cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Lord, bless our meditation now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The heretical preacher, Charles Grandison Finney, used some very excellent words of truth to entitle one of his books. The title of that book was, Love is Not a Special Way of Feeling. Love is not a special way of feeling. I have to agree with him on that. Love, that is biblical love, is not a mere emotion. Rather, it is a real motion, meaning that it motivates action. Faith, which worketh by love. Love is the moving. It is the motivation of godly action. As Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones pointed out, in the ancient Greek world, there were three Greek terms that are translated in our English language with the word love. But you will notice that one of them is totally inappropriate for the Scriptures and is not used at all in the New Testament. The first word, eros, is the root of the word erotic and refers to a self-consumed sensual emotion. But the second Greek word, phileo, refers to the affection of friendship, the love of family, and even love of country. Phileo. But then there is the highest and the greatest word for love that has this special usage in the New Testament. And it is the word agape. And this highest and greatest term is the self-sacrificing love that the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated for us in dying for us. Jesus used that word in John 15 and verse 13. He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Plural. How wonderful that he has laid down his life for his friends. The so-called love that is stereotyped in the movies, on television, and in other media today is not the selfless, sacrificial love. It is rather the low, selfish, sinful, sensual feeling, and at best, it may refer at times to the love of country. Christians are commanded, however, by the Almighty to demonstrate this real selfless agape in return to the Lord for the great love that He demonstrates to us. But we are also to demonstrate this agape to all fellow sinners and fellow saints. And we're to do it, as the New Testament often translated, as charity. If you remember when we were reading through 1 Corinthians 13, charity, let's think about charity. Charity is a very good word. Agape is often translated charity to remind us that real love is always a handout. Real love is always a handout from us. It is a handout from God to the needy. And our showing this charity, agape, is a handout, always a handout from us, given to the needy. And we all have needs. We all need the demonstration of agape. Romans 13 is still dealing with the matter of relationships. We had relationships in chapter 12, and this chapter started with our relationship to those in authority over us, and now it has come down to our relationship with everyone. We are to love everyone, even our enemies. That's not easy. Verses 1 to 7 of this chapter, the application of the fifth commandment to the various the fifth commandment, as we are studying on Sunday nights, we see that it deals not only with our honoring our father and mother, but in all matters of relationships, whether we're inferiors, superiors, or equals, that this commandment of love and honor and giving the due to everyone is so absolutely necessary. But now we come to the ninth verse. And do you see the connection here? Isn't it amazing that one of the second table of the law is left out of verse 9? And we have no real puzzling thoughts about why it's left out, because we have been seeing the exposition of the fifth commandment right up until this time. And now we come to the sixth. Well, they come to the seventh, the sixth, the eighth, the ninth, and the tenth. But you notice the first table of the law is not set before us here. Did you notice how Jesus did that? When people came to him, tell him that they wanted to know, what good thing can we do to inherit eternal life? He didn't tell them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Your neighbor. And then he didn't say, remember to keep my name in reverence, worship me without any imagery or idolatry, and remember to keep my day holy. He always took the people to the second table of the law. And here the apostle takes us to the second table of the law. Because if we can't love our brother, that we can see, how could we possibly love God that we can't see? And really, the law is really meant to bring us to the end of ourselves, where we realize we can't even do the second table of the law, much less the first table of the law. Okay, so the fifth commandment, he's been giving an exposition of that in our relationships and giving to all their due, no matter whether they're superiors, inferiors, or equals. Okay, so now in verse 9, let's read here. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. There's number 7. Thou shalt not kill, number 6. Thou shalt not steal, number 8. Thou shalt not bear false witness, number 9. Thou shalt not covet, number 10. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, we're going to meditate on these two verses. Loving our neighbor as we love ourselves is carefully defined. First of all, I want us to see today, we can't really love our neighbor unless we really love God. We cannot really love our neighbor unless we really love God. Now let's turn that around for the second point. We don't really love God unless we really love our neighbor. And then thirdly, God's commandments here give us a deep understanding of ourselves. So first of all, we can't really love our neighbor unless we really love God. Sin has terribly warped us. We've been warped by the fall. Now some of you may remember the days, some of us who were born in the middle of the last century, we used to play these things. And sometimes, if they were left in the wrong place, they would get warped and they would be, you know, they'd have a hump in them and you couldn't play them anymore. And when I think of being warped, I always think of a warped record. I can't help it. It just always goes back to that. But we are so warped by the fall that in regard to our loving God and loving our neighbor, it's hard for us to get it in balance. We would usually be putting too much emphasis in this area or too much emphasis in this area and not really balanced in a right way. We tend to get loving God and loving our neighbor, you know, in a warped way. Now, we emphasize one over the other. And then we don't really effectively do either, loving God or loving our neighbor. It was a reaction to the sin-filled society in the years before the coming of Christ that caused the Essenes, a sect of Judaism, to live in the deserts to try to purify themselves. What was their idea? We get away from this corrupt society and get out in the desert by ourselves. We're going to be able to be clean and holy. Later, in the 3rd century professing Christian church, some had the same idea, and they became known as desert hermits. Even Jerome did that for a while. And they were trying to be pure from the sin that was so rampant in the world around them. There are various problems with that. Luther found it, that even when he went into the seclusion of his monastery cell, that he still had the microcosm of the world in his own heart and all of the lust of the flesh he couldn't get away from. And the other big problem with that type of outlook of getting away, let's isolate ourselves from the culture, the big problem with that is that we tend to neglect our neighbors. You may get over and say, well, I'm going to really love God. I'm really going to be sanctified and holy, but forgetting others. God has left His regenerate children in this world to be salt and light so that the unregenerate can see the good works, especially the good works that are done by God's people for the unregenerate, so that the unregenerate, in seeing these good works done for them and for their benefit, will be enabled and learn to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. But in order for us to be the salt of the earth, we got to get the salt out of the salt shaker out into this rotten society. It is dangerously easy to neglect our neighbors and to just end up pleasing ourselves, gratifying our own will rather than meeting the needs and wishes of others is a very evil thing. It's easy just to think about our duty to God. I'm just going to have my devotions every day. I'm going to be, you know, pure in heart. I'm going to love Him in daily praise. I'm going to seek Him in daily prayer. I'm going to learn of Him in daily Bible study. However, to do these things to the neglect of our neighbors is to be spiritually selfish. And then devotion becomes only a formality. Yes, we must nurture and develop a passionate relationship with the triune God, but we must not neglect really loving our neighbor in the process. Now, I've been saying we can't really love our neighbor unless we really are loving God. But being humans that are naturally warped by the fall, we tend to neglect one or the other. Secondly, we do not really love God unless we really love our neighbor. And that's what this is about, especially. So I trust that the Lord will hone in on us here with this truth and bring it very close to our hearts so that we may see ourselves and our need to properly relate biblically to one another and to all those around us, even our enemies. Love to God that is not accompanied with love to our neighbor is not genuine love to God. Love to God that is not accompanied with love to our neighbor is not genuine love to God. 1 John 4, verse 20. Here's what the Scriptures say. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? So here's the second table of the law. The Lord gives us that to judge ourselves. Are we really loving our neighbor? Love to our neighbor includes all men of all ethnic origins, even those who are our enemies. The command is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And of course, the question came back to Jesus, who's my neighbor? Well, especially your enemy, the ones that you think the least of on the planet, the Samaritan, that's your neighbor. We are not required to love our neighbors as we do, in fact, or actually love ourselves. But we are rather to love our neighbor as we ought to love ourselves. Now, we are to love ourselves biblically in submission to Christ. Now, what does that look like? How do we love ourselves? Well, we are to love ourselves in moderation, not excessively lavishing everything on ourselves, but not going to the other extreme either, not neglecting the body. Colossians 2 and verse 23. We are to love others as ourselves. We are to love others even if they have opinions differing from ours, even if they are of a different political ideology from us, we're still to love them. Even if our neighbors are provoking us with provoking words, we are still to have feelings toward them that desire God to bless them. We may not wish evil upon our neighbor, even if our neighbor's provoking us. Nor may we rejoice at his calamities. This is where we live. When the Lord, through Paul, exhorts us to esteem others better than ourselves, we are to do just that. Love thinketh no evil. We are not to entertain evil surmisings against our neighbor. What are we to do? If that's not what we're not to do, what are we to do? We are to put the most favorable constructions on what he does in what he says, rather than say, oh, I know what he's doing. I know what his evil intents are. I've heard so many people say that. You think, well, how in the world did they get inside that head? They don't really know what you're thinking. They're just surmising they know. I know what you know. They probably don't even know what they're thinking themselves. We must learn to discern the beam in our own eye before we detect the mote in our neighbor's eye. True Christian charity protects and promotes our neighbor in his person and also in his good name. We must not slander our neighbor, nor must we must not tolerate talebearing. And let us realize that we need to think of other people's feelings before our own. Let them choose the topic of conversation instead of having our own interest to be the topic always. And let us not always be dominating the conversation ourselves. True religion agrees with true politeness. In social gatherings, we need to learn to show attention to those that are neglected, and to give them equal time rather than bestowing all our attention upon our special friends. True Christian love will not only prevent us from taking our neighbor's possessions, true love will restrain us from even envying and coveting what is our neighbor's. Now, love will keep us from leading others into sin. And especially, real love will keep us from gloating and being joyful when our neighbors are guilty of sin. Now, having said all this, love is not blind. Let's remember that. We will still see plenty of faults and sins that are in our neighbors. But let us remember, couldn't God see that about us all along? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord saw all our sins, knew all our sins, and yet still loved us and still loves us. Are you ever amazed that God loves you today? Sometimes after we sin, we really grieve about ourselves. And how can God love us? We thank God that He's not like us. He is constant. He is faithful. He always is the same unchanging God. Now, love for our neighbor will aid the advancement of the Redeemer's kingdom and the salvation of souls. And how will it do this? Love for our neighbor will do this by moving us to pray for the temporal and the eternal happiness of all men. You read that scripture? That we are to make prayers and intercessions for all men, not just for kings and those that are in authority, but for all men. And I say this, sometimes I hear bad things about people. I say, are you praying for them? That's a good question to ask. Are you praying for them? Have you prayed for them today? You're going to say something about them. Have you prayed for them? I mean, you're going to talk to me about it. Let's talk to God about it. Pray for them. Okay. Now, love for our neighbor will move us to pray for their temporal and their eternal prosperity. And nothing will promote love for our neighbors like earnestly praying for them. There we have considered the fact that we can't really love God unless we really love our neighbor. And we can't really love our neighbors unless we really love God. So we're caught right here in the middle. And it's so easy to go to either extreme and put all our emphasis there and forget the other. Let's just be nice to everybody. Some folks think, well, all I got to do is just be nice to my neighbor and don't worry about God. Well, that's not true either. God's commandments, in the last place, give us a deep understanding of ourselves. What's your reaction when you read the Bible each day? Sometimes my look is downcast in reading the Scripture, because when I read God's Word, I find that so much of what I think and what I say and what I do is contrary to the Bible. Yeah. True love for our neighbor is sadly deficient in our experience. Therefore, we need to carefully scrutinize all our habits in order to correct the wrong and to strengthen what's right. Let us be encouraged to do this, because the Lord Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." It is important for us to examine ourselves. We confess with the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 96, "Thy commandment is exceeding broad." And what does that mean? It means God's commandments take in all the details of life. It covers everything. So let us be encouraged, even as we behold the thoroughness of the infinite triune God. He commands our thoughts. He commands our words. He commands our actions. And He also commands our feelings and our attitudes. That's very important in loving our neighbor as well as loving him. We can take great lessons from the martyrs. I mean, you look at Jesus. What was he doing on the cross? I'm not saying he was a martyr. He was certainly the witness of the truth, the true confessor. But our Lord Jesus Christ, as he died and atoned for our sins, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And didn't Stephen do much of the same? Stephen said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." He was very forgiving, prayed for them. Well, there was a great martyr in the time of Queen Bloody Mary in England. The first martyr was Reverend John Rogers. He had pastored in Germany. He had labored on the continent with William Tyndale in getting the scriptures into the English tongue. And then when King Edward was on the throne, he said it's safe to come back to England. So he came back to England. He was preaching and he was teaching other preachers, and he had a great ministry until Bloody Mary came to the throne. So he was thrown into the Tower of London, and he was condemned to be burned at the stake as the first one of the martyrs under Bloody Mary. One day, a very worldly man said to him, "I like you, but you're too strict." And, of course, you know the reply that Reverend Rogers gave. He said, "I serve a very strict God." Yes, God is very tender, He's very loving, He's very compassionate, but He's also holy and just. So what must we conclude, even from looking a little into God's law? We conclude how impossible it is for any of us to present to Him a righteousness of our own doing. In no way we can present to Him a perfect righteousness. "By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified." Romans 3:20. We must turn our back on our own works for our salvation and appeal only to the throne of grace, and there to rest solely for our justification on the perfect righteousness of our Redeemer. And we must remember, in resting on Christ's righteousness alone for our salvation, that those who were saved by His righteousness are those whose lives testify that they do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's my last word today. Don't forget this last word. Those who rest alone on Christ's righteousness for justification are those whose lives testify that they do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy word, that love is indeed the fulfilling of the law. And oh, what a wonderful fulfilling we see by our loving Savior in His life and in His death for us. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt write the truth of these words upon our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt cause us to be more sensitive and thoughtful in regard to our neighbors, and even to the feelings of those that we profess to love. Oh God, we pray that we would love others as we ought to love ourselves. Oh God, help us. We are absolutely dependent upon Thee. And now unto Him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and power and dominion forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.